The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Now, it's a Monday, and we've got Dame Shirley in the studio. We've also got Shania in the studio as well. And on the other end of this telephone here should be a genuine rock star, although he's a reggae star, and we'll tell you all about that in a wee while. But good afternoon, Pete Colorado.
Good afternoon, Ian. It's very nice speaking to you.
Where are we speaking to you from?
I'm actually speaking to you from South Croydon in Surrey.
In Surrey?
Yes, it is.
Posh part?
I don't know. It depends what part of... Well, I'm living in South Croydon. It's part of it is very, very posh, I suppose. But sort of my place is pretty average.
All right, OK, pretty average, playing it down. Now, Pete, you recorded this song. Is it the tail end of last year you recorded this song?
I actually wrote this song quite a few years ago when I encountered the story. I read the story in Marie Claire magazine. But I went back into the studio a few weeks ago because a couple of DJs... I was notified by the media company that a couple of DJs had picked up on the song because it was one of the songs that I had previously released sometime last year. And they picked up on it and they were asking about it. And so we decided to actually do a project on this because I've been working sort of ever since I wrote it. I've been trying to get world awareness and get people interested in this or whatever, because I always felt that I was like kind of doing things on my own. I wasn't aware of if there was anybody else involved. So I was trying to push this because this topic became a very, very sort of important topic to me after reading about it.
So, come on, tell us about the awareness, the topic.
Okay, well, actually, like I said earlier on, I actually found it in a Marie Claire magazine some years ago. I was actually doing a refrigeration course at the time, and I had never heard of the Ogoni people. I didn't even know it was in Nigeria, to be honest. And anyway, I ripped the page out, I took it home, and I thought, this is a really, really interesting sort of topic to get involved in. But I had never, ever written anything political before. I'm not an activist, I'm not an extremist, I'm not a sort of a member of any human rights movement or whatever, but nevertheless I took it to work the following day, and opposite me in the canteen was this African guy, and I just kind of opened up and I said to him, I said, I found a really, really interesting article in a magazine, and I started talking about it, and the guy sort of like propped up, he looked at me, and he said, oh, he said, I'm one of these people, and I, to be a honest, Ian, I didn't believe the guy. But he said, look, he said, you don't have to believe me. He said, but I've got a couple of videos of documentary. He said, are you interested in watching it? So I said, yeah, of course I'll watch it. So he brought it in, and I watched 5 hours of documentary that weekend. And I took a lot of notes down and everything else. And I thought, Christ, I'd love to do something like this, but I had never been involved in anything like this before. I kept thinking of Bob Dylan, because I thought, this is Bob Dylan's bag. And I thought, well, if Bob Dylan can get involved and write about things like this, surely I could, and I'd love to because I've never done it before. I found it challenging, I found it exciting, I found it very moving, and I thought, well, if I haven't heard of these people, chances are millions haven't heard of them either. So I was a member of the Songwriters Association in the USA at the time, and from the notification on that, I knew that there was an upcoming international uni song competition coming up, the festival. So I decided to write the song and enter it in the international uni song competition, so which I did. And I entered it into the environmental sort of section, you know, human rights and that sort of stuff. And some months later, they sent me an award and told me that the song had helped to raise $15,000 for Amnesty International. So I repeated it the following year, and the same thing happened. But I sent it in, you know, specifically for world awareness, Ian, because I thought, Christ, you know, people really, really need to know about this, because the story is very, very raw. It's been going on since the 50s, after the death of Ken Saro-Wiwa and the 8 other Ogoni people who was hung alongside him in 1995. The problems are still as raw as ever. His legacy still continues. His family is still at it. Every day you can go into the Ogoni news section online and you'll always find something. There's so much been written about the problems. Shell Oil actually discovered oil there in 1957, 1958. Unfortunately, I don't think they carried out everything to their procedures, because they ran the pipelines along above ground, which left it wide open for probably oil spills and also sabotage and that sort of stuff, and which these things occurred, you know, over time. I think it's still occurring today. There's one transport line of oil, which I think they transport about maybe 150,000 liters a day of oil or whatever. But nevertheless, the problems actually started because Ken Saro-Wiwa, who was an activist, he was an environmental activist, he was a writer, he was a television producer, that sort of stuff. Well, Ken got involved in it. And he started, during that time, they started MOSOP, which is the Movement of the Survival of the Ogoni People. And what he was actually saying was, he said, nobody bothered to even ask the Ogoni people about the oil exploration, because the oil that they were taking was, they were taking out of Ogoni land, which is actually in the oil-rich delta region of Nigeria. These people never had a say in anything. It just went along with the multinational companies like Shell, like Royal Dutch Shell Oil and a couple of others, along with the Nigerian government, and they started exploration of oil. Well, anyway, consequently, there were a lot of devastating oil spills. It absolutely ruined the countryside. It ruined farmlands. They ruined villages. They upset people's lives. They had two massive oil spills into the two fishing lakes, which people depended on, because it went, because alongside these lakes were the Bodo people who were fishing. It was a fishing community. Well, all this sort of stuff happened. And today, the cleanup still hasn't started. And this is 35 years after the death of Ken Saro-Wiwa and the eight who were actually hung. They were framed for murders. He was brought into court in 1993. He was given a kangaroo court. He had no legal representation. He had no friends. He had nobody with him. He was found guilty. He was put back into prison. And then in 1995, they brought him out and they hung the eight of them in Harcourt. So, you know, it's a very, very sad tale to actually tell. You know, it's still going on today. The cleanup operation will take something like 30 years, okay? And Shell Oil has actually finally accepted liability, but that was back in 2011. And they said they would give $1 billion for the cleanup, provided the cleanup is orchestrated or policed or whatever. And he put this across into the hands of the Nigerian government. Well, since then, governments have changed. And President Buhari today has taken it up. And he said that he will probably start a cleaning campaign. But that was back in 2011, Ian. Still nothing has been done. These people are crying out for justice. Their land is devastated. The farmers today talk about, I used to be a farmer. Why do they have to speak like this? The fishing community don't have fish. They don't have fresh water. They don't have clean air. They have nothing. They don't have, you know, a beautiful farming land to actually farm. So, yes, this song, you know, even though it was written a few years ago, and it's all been brought into perspective now, I find that there are other little organizations like, for instance, Peckham Platform, that I only discovered in January of this year, were actually campaigning about this problem. So I got in touch with Peckham Platform, and I'm trying to work alongside of them. I'm telling them what I'm doing. I'm telling them that I'm speaking to the likes of people like yourself, people in the BBC, and all other FM radio stations, and we're trying to get something going. But this song I'm trying to bring out is to make people aware of the injustices of what has been happening to the Ogoni people in Ogoni land. And I'm asking people, I'm appealing to people, if you listen to the song, if you like the song, please go out and buy it. It's going to be on iTunes. It's officially released on the 25th of March. So please go out there and buy it, and let's do something for these poor, unfortunate people.
Pete, I've got to ask you many questions, okay? But the first one is obviously this hasn't had the news coverage that it should have had, and we've got two people in the studio, and you know, I part knew what was going on and part didn't, I've got to be honest with you, and they're looking at themselves and they're scratching their heads thinking, what is this all about? We don't know what it's all about. And that comes down to the press and the media are not doing their job and not covering this story. Why do you think that is?
Well, the thing is, when the problem actually started, Ian, Nigeria was under British colonial rule at the time, and the the local British colonial government or people that were there went along with the Nigerian government, because the Nigerian government at that time was run by three major groups. They were the aristocracy in Nigeria, so the British found it a lot easier to allow it, to go along with these people and let them actually deal with the situation. But the whole point is, the oil that was coming out of Nigeria was distributed to the whole of Nigeria. 80% of Nigeria's funding comes from oil. Well, a lot of this oil is coming from Ogoni land, and the Ogoni people have really had nothing much out of it. So Ken, the voice of the Ogoni people, actually came out and he said, "Well, what y'all are actually doing," he said, "is wrong." He said, "This is tantamount to robbery." He said, "Because y'all are doing this," he said, "and taking our oil and sharing it and benefiting by it," because they have raised, I think they've actually had something like $30 billion over the time. I know Shell, when after the death of Ken Saro-Wiwa and the eight other Ogoni people, Shell was actually sort of expelled from Nigeria because of these problems. Shell, Ken had become a threat to the multinational companies, and he had become a threat to the Nigerian government. But I don't know why. John Major was Prime Minister of Britain at the time. And along with other world leaders, they all cried out and they said that what y'all are doing is wrong, and y'all should not have done this, and y'all should not have done that. But they never really got involved in it. I mean, it took Shell till 2011 to actually finally admit and say that, okay, that they were responsible. But they were trying to pass the buck and say that they never caused the sabotage. But then again, yes, they did. Because if they hadn't put their pipes, run along their pipes above the ground, in opposed to below the ground, they would not have let it wide open for sabotage and people like this. The Ogoni people were angry about it because they were getting nothing out of it. Ken was actually saying that every state in Nigeria is responsible for themselves. Why are they using the Ogoni minerals and the riches and the money that they're getting from Ogoni land? Why are they distributing that to the whole of Nigeria when it's not going to Ogoni land? This is what Ken was crying out for. He was crying out for injustices, but nobody was taking any notice. And still today, nobody has done anything about it. The land is completely devastated. Why is that? I've written the song purely out of interest, purely out of caring, and because I feel for the injustices of these people. I'm a songwriter. The only way I can do this is through a song. So this is the way, this is my my contribution to it. This is for Ken's legacy, and this is my tribute to Ken and the Ogoni people.
Hey, look, we're going to play the song in just a mo, okay? You're obviously very passionate about this. How do we join in the passion? How do we find out more about it, and what can we do?
Well, if you go to, the only thing I can say is, I mean, nobody's talking about it, nobody's writing about it. If you go to Ogoni News online, you will find everything that you possibly need to know about it, because these things actually, they spider web into different other campaigns that are actually going on. I mean, Peckham Platform in London today is one of the only people that I know who are actually getting physically involved in it, because last November they had a commemoration, they had an exhibition to commemorate the 20 years anniversary death of Ken Saro-Wiwa and the eight other Ogoni people. And they had, they had a Nigerian woman, she's a sculptor, Sukari Douglas Camp, she's a CBE, and she actually made a steel bus, which she called it the battle bus, and they took it over to Nigeria because the Nigerian people, the Ogoni people, are aware of this. They want this because it's like the homecoming for Ken. But what the Nigerian government have done, they seized it at the border and it's under lock and key. They will not allow it to go to Ogoni land when the Ogoni people are actually asking for this. So the campaign is still continuing. I know new things are happening, but there's still sort of, as we speak, things are beginning to be organized or whatever. So we would have to probably come back to it to find out exactly what, transpires from this.
Hey, Pete, we've run out of time, but we're going to play the song, we're going to podcast the interview, and we're going to get behind it. Can you tell us where the single, where the piece of music is available?
Yes, the music is actually going to be on iTunes. It's officially released on iTunes and all digital outlets globally, and that's going to be on the 25th of March. And people can like it, and they can buy the single from there.
And we're going to make it Record of the Week next week, okay,
on
Vect Australia.
Very much indeed.
No problem at all. Can you introduce your song now?
Yes, this is Pete Colorado on Ian Mack's show with my new song, Come On World. Please buy it and give us the support that we need. Thank you.
There's a movement in the distance, a cloud of dust up in the air, a 10-foot wall of resistance of a Ghana people everywhere. All destruction of our homeland, all pollution in our seas, murder of cancer, we were rape and killings of families. So come on, world, and join our fight. Come together, it's our human right. Come on, world, join our fight. Come together, it's our human right. Sanctions be the only choice for respect of humanity. But there's a movement in the distance and a spirit in our hearts. And though the bullets keep on killing us, they won't tear us apart. So come on, world, and join our fight. Come together, it's our human right. Come on, world, and join our fight. Come together now, it's our human right.
Released on the 25th of March, and it's to bring awareness to the Ogoni people and their plight in Nigeria. If you want to know more, then check out Pete Colorado's website. Just put in Pete Colorado and it'll tell you everything you need to know. And the Peckham platform, nothing at all to do with Del Boy and Rodney as well, but check out the Peckham platform. And it's a really, really good cause as well, and that money is going to, any money's raised from the single is going to go towards the Amnesty International Fund, and $30 million is already raised already to help solve the issues there for the Ogoni people. Hey, look, let's move on. It's 22 minutes after 12. We've got a subject that we want to talk about between now and 1 o'clock, and it's, well, we have, you know, we've got people across the you know, we've got an 80-year-old lady there, we've got Shania, who's only 12, and then you've got me, who's 23. How old should you be if... if
cool,
your parents,
tell them, don't
he? How old should you be if your parents are going out, you know, leaving you at home? Does it, should it be decided on age, the time of day that they're going to leave you, how long they're going to leave you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're 19, so...
Are you left alone, Shania?
At what age did Dad say... Shania, I'm off out now. I'll see you next Tuesday. See you next Wednesday. You know, that's you know. How old should you be? Should you be left alone?
It depends how long it is, really. I've always thought if it's like a couple of hours, I've always thought it to be like about 13.
13.
And then if you're looking up, I've always thought if I'm looking after Callum when he was younger, then I'd have to be 16. But.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, it's very cloudy because I always thought it was you had to be 13 to look after someone else, but there is no law that's in place. This is what came out this morning, Shirley, wasn't
it? That's right.
There is absolute nailed down law where you have to be a certain age to be home alone.
I think they're going to have to make a law, and also if you're left by yourself or you're looking after your siblings, I think there should be an age group below. But you see, a lot depends on children are so different. Every child is different. You could leave one 12-year-old that would be really, really good and just sat reading or something, and then you could leave another 12-year-old that would be into all sorts.
Well, let's just put it to the test. I would imagine that Shania is quite grown up, mature.
Yeah.
And I bet that at a certain age, they would have said to you, your parents would have said to you, okay, you're grown up, mature enough to be left alone. But I wonder if your brother was slightly older when he had to be left alone because he's not quite so mature as you.
I don't know. I think it was really about the same age.
Because he's a bit of a so-and-so, isn't he?
No, apparently not now. When he was younger, he was a bit...
There you go again.
Now he's grown up.
So if I was your dad, I'd be thinking, well, you're all right, I could live, but him, no, he'd be...
It was more like they went... Mum and Dad were out, and it was always someone would be in the house to look after Callum anyway.
Right.
So that he was never really left alone, because I'd be around, or...
He's a troublesome
maybe,
child.
Yeah. I'd go down the town and get some lunch for him and all that, so he'd be left for about an hour.
How old do you think they should be?
I think, you know, it's...
I think, in my case, I think Callum was rather independent anyway. He can look after himself.
Can he cook?
Yeah.
Can he boil a kettle without scalding himself?
Yeah.
Can he make a drink without... Can he make some rice without...
He's never tried.
Right, okay.
He can cook. He does himself something to eat and... I would say he does a cup of tea or whatever for Dad and all that, but he doesn't, so
okay.
I can't say he does. But he does know how to use a kettle.
You see, I've got a 9-year-old and 10-year-old grandchildren, two little girls. They can do lots of stuff. They can make a drink. They can make a toast. You know, they're safe with a knife to cut up, say, tomatoes or something.
Right.
Because they've been taught how to do it.
That's great. That really is good to hear,
you know,
as well.
They could be left alone, but they wouldn't be. They won't never leave them alone. But they could, because they're independent, and they're well-behaved children as well.
I mean, some of the stories that we were hearing this morning, because we saw the same piece of news, is that kids as young as six were being left alone.
Yes.
But there was one 15-year-old that actually the story went to court. And when
ridiculous.
It went to court, the judge said, why are you here? And just pushed the case to one side and said, clear off. Got better things to do, basically.
Of course, yeah.
And you think, well, if you had hard and fast rules in place, it would stop you getting to that situation. Look, okay, the age limit is 13. I think 12, 13 is probably a decent age, don't you?
Yes, I do. I mean, but I've got another situation where one of my grandchildren, when he was about 12, was on my computer around the corner.
Right.
And I caught him looking at things, you know? So if I'd have left him there by himself,
yeah.
But then again, if I had my own children, say that age, my computer would be so they couldn't look at things like that. Anyway.
Are you talking about like pictures of naked women?
No, naughty films.
Naughty films.
Naughty
okay.
films.
Because you probably I don't know how old you got to be to buy a naughty magazine. 18.
Yeah, but there's naughty Ian.
Ah, see there's
about,
levels of naughty.
I'm talking about pornography.
Right, okay.
Yes, I actually caught him with that. But if I had children now, if I had a computer or iPad or anything in the house, I would make sure that they couldn't download any of this.
Okay. Yet. It's an it really is. The more you delve into it, the more fascinating it becomes.
Yeah.
Because you think, okay, if you're 13, 12, let's just pluck an age out of the air. Let's say from here on in, we're making the rules here for Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to be 12 to be left alone. Right, how long can you be left alone for? Could you be left alone overnight? Could you be left alone, we're going on holiday for a week, I'll see you next week Thursday?
No.
You know, is that yeah. But this is still a grey area.
Yes.
Is how long and how old?
Yeah, I think maybe they should say, I don't think they should leave a 12-year-old overnight. I don't think they should leave them when they go on holiday.
What's the difference between somebody being left overnight and somebody being left during the day for 6-7 hours?
I don't know, because that child would probably be asleep all night.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just difficult.
There was one story this morning, if you remember, this guy left his children for 10 minutes to take his wife to work about 10:30 because she was doing nights.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Okay, you're not leaving them all night, you're only leaving them a matter of minutes, but you could say, right, okay, the holidays are coming, and you've got a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old at home, and you go off out to work at 8 o'clock, 7:30, and you come back at 5 o'clock. I mean, that's the equivalent of overnight, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So what would be the difference? This is why we need hard and fast rules.
Yeah, it's like latchkey children, they call them, don't they, latchkey kids, when they come home from school and there's nobody there, and they have to look after themselves until their parents get home from work.
I was one of those.
Well, you know, and you haven't hurt yourself, have you? I mean, you're fine.
No, we used to do quite a number of break-ins, though.
Yeah.
We weren't the best kids in the world.
No,
we used to break things, and we used to muck around on building sites, and we were forever getting in trouble.
But I can't remember ever leaving my children when they were growing up until they were quite in their teens.
Yeah.
Yes, I think.
It's probably because you were a stay-at-home mum.
Yeah,
there was probably no need for you.
That's true.
But we live in a sadly
a different age now.
Sadly, we do. Yeah. We do live in a different age now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how old were you when you first got left home alone? Not deliberately, but I mean, you know, oh, we're off out now, Shania. You don't want to come with us, or we're going to go to work, and you've got to stay home. I mean, bearing in mind, there's no law, so nobody can, grass you up and say, oh, that's, you know, the reason why she's a bad kid, a wrong'un, is because old Humpty used to clear off aged 11 and, leave her at home to cook for herself, and that's why she's like she is. So I don't think there's any comeback here, because there is no law in place.
Oh, I can't really remember. It's quite young, I think. It wasn't, like, ridiculously young, but...
5, 6?
No, it was, like... probably about 11.
But Shania is a sensible child, I think.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call you a child.
Yeah, but she might not have been aged 11.
I'm sure she was.
I was. But then when you think of it, I was left on my own to go and get the school bus when I was 9 to go to Newport for school. So that's...
Good point.
The difference. So you don't get adults accompanying you on the bus and all that when you get to... Well, it was middle school, apart from the bus driver, but you're still independent waiting for the bus. And
It's a very good point. That. Yeah. I mean, when you think, right, okay, so you're not allowed to you've got to stay at home age 12. You can't go out, because there were some parents that were really strict. No, I'm not leaving you by yourself age 12. I'm not going to do that. Mm. But it's all right for letting them walk to school by themselves and come home by themselves. Exactly.
But I suppose there's people around, isn't there?
That's the problem.
And
I mean, that is the why would you not? See, there must be, you have to identify what the problem may or may not be. Mm. You know, why would you not allow a child to stay home alone? Why not? Because of what? They're worried they might burn the house down. They're worried of other people might getting in. I mean, why would people be worried about leaving their kids alone? Age 12.
I would just worry that they'd eat all the food out the kitchen, I think.
That's probably going to happen anyway, isn't it?
It would.
And more for them. But is it because they're, you know, they're trying to protect themselves from themselves, the outside world? They might hurt themselves.
I don't know. You see, it's very difficult, because no child is the same. They're all different. Some are really grown up when they're 12 and some aren't.
Okay.
You know, but there should be, I think, an age group where, say, if there was a neighbour who was leaving their children, young children, and I knew they were leaving them overnight or something, and I reported them, but I'd like to know what age you can report them.
Well, there's no law.
So if there's a law,
There's no law, but they obviously 500 people were prosecuted last year.
Yes.
And they aged from 6. They ranged from 6 to 15. That's wrong.
But
that's
you see bits of the paper sometimes, don't you, where a mum's gone off abroad on holiday and left her child at home.
Yeah.
That is awful.
What's the youngest you should be able to clear off a week and say
for a week? Yeah. I should say wait until they're a teenager. 15, 16, I think.
Again, I'm bordering on 16, but because they've I then look at it and think, well, hang on a minute, if you're still at school, you're still classed as a child, but if you're living on your own for a whole week, you know, that's wrong, isn't it?
But I mean, a 16-year-old can get married now, can't they?
Only if they've got
children.
I think they've got to have consent. Right. Otherwise, they can clear off to Scotland and do it. They can do it in Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can't. I don't think you can do it here. You have to have some kind of consent.
What age can you drink?
18.
18. Yeah, you see.
Smoke. So it's all right to be alone. Which would you put more emphasis on? Being able to stay at home alone for a whole week while your mum clears off on holiday with lover boy,
I wouldn't do that. Well, personally, I wouldn't.
Being able to go down and buy some cigarettes, age 18.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
I think they're both wrong, and I think they both should be chucked into the same category. Yeah. You shouldn't be left home alone until you're 18. But if you're 17 and out to work,
they are.
That's different. But if you are, I mean, how do you feel about, you stayed on till you were 18, 19. How do you feel about, if you're 17, you're still classed as a child? Would you fight that and think, no, I'm a grown-up?
I was still a child, sort of. It's like late teenagers. When you hit 18, that's when you, like, you're an adult, sort of, and then...
Okay.
Because
I agree with that.
But
I think that's
17,
right.
I was left home alone quite a lot, so... It doesn't bother me. At night, I didn't really like it, just because it was dark and all that. Yeah. It'd
be very frightening if the child was young to be left overnight, I think.
I think the problem is, in night time, it's just like it's pitch black outside. You can't see what's going on easy.
Yeah.
And it's more worrying for the kid, and especially when you get into, like, inner city as well. It depends on the environment where you are as well.
Because
if you're in the middle of London, you wouldn't want to leave a kid in the pitch black on their own.
Depends if you like the kids or not, doesn't it? I mean, you know, that's...
gathering that they do like the kids.
But that's almost where you're going to go with this, isn't it? Because, let's be honest, if you're going to leave your 7-year-old at home alone for the day, you've got to question whether you actually like that child or not, haven't you? To put them in danger or not.
Yeah, well, I'm of the old school, Ian. You shouldn't have babies unless you look after them.
Absolutely, I'm with you.
This is how I still feel.
Might make us sound like dinosaurs, but that is...
I mean, I stayed at home until the youngest one was older. And 50. Then I went to work. because we didn't have what they've got now. You know, for necessity, I know they have to go to work now. The mums do.
Yeah.
But they want everything, don't they?
I think...
In my day, we didn't have it, so we stayed at home and looked after the children.
Sadly, I mean, I was of the age where, you know, my mum had to go out and work, and she'll deny this, but it's absolutely true. We used to get home from primary school and we would be home alone. My brother was 3 years older than me, so I would have been about 6 or 7 and he would have been about 9.
You see, I don't like that.
And you know, the key was left. We were under the under the mat kits, under the mat key kits, and you know, we'd come home, we'd be by ourselves, not for long.
But was it a case of your mum had to go to work?
Yes, it was a case of had to go to work.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the sad thing is that we were kind of, I would imagine, breaking the laws if there were any back then.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and there must be so many people now that are in that boat where they have to go and work. What's the difference? I think they're put in an awkward position, a very awkward position. But I think they need some kind of clarity. Maybe they've looked into it and thought, well, you know, I'm not breaking any laws here. If people want to report us, then we might have a bit of a sticky moment. But that's about it. There's no laws here that says that I can't leave my child aged 11 at home all day.
But I think it depends how long you left as well. I mean, it's all right. Like, what, half an hour nip into the shop or something, wouldn't it be? 11-year-old, you know, but leaving them all day, I don't know, really.
Depends what their life skills are like.
This
so
is,
if you can,
this is what I
if
mean,
you can
yeah.
make a drink, if you can have something to eat, because if you're left all day, like, age 10, they'll need to have, like, some lunch, provided, thinking that they have breakfast before the parent goes, but they still need to have some lunch. And then all that sort of like making a drink, being able to do anything pretty much.
Okay.
But is it and they're safe generally.
Yeah, but
going up and down stairs. I fell down the stairs once.
What, whilst your mum and dad was out?
No, they were there.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, you had been drinking, Shania.
They didn't really. No.
Shania likes to drink, which is a point that out, because apparently you were on Facebook yesterday with your drink.
She was.
Very large alcoholic drink.
I asked her what it was.
It was topped up with lemonade.
It was wine.
Topped up with lemonade, yeah, it was a pint pint of vodka, wasn't it? Topped up with lemonade.
No, it was rosé wine with a bit of lemonade on it.
A bit of lemonade.
Talking of alcohol, would you be surprised to know that the last time I looked at the law, it's okay for a five-year-old... Just say, for instance, if my son was at home now and he was only five, it would be okay. Nobody could touch me with the law for me to give him a can of beer.
Could do that in your own home.
In your own home, aged
own home,
five.
Yeah.
But does it surprise you that that is law? It's not. There's no law against. I can give him a pint of beer and make him drink it, or you know, say, there's your drink. Ever.
I don't know how they could enforce it. Do you?
Well,
really.
See, I think they should make it a law. So then, at least the guideline, because the guidelines at the moment saying, well, it's all right.
Yeah.
So, it's all right. If I say it's all right, come on, Billy, here's a pint of beer. This will make him sleep. Don't worry. We're getting to bed early tonight,
well,
love.
I've done that with brandy in a bottle.
Probably for different reasons, yeah. But does it surprise you, though, there's no law in place? That is it. That's.
I suppose they don't really make a law because you can't enforce it. You can't put cameras in everyone's home making sure every time they buy alcohol, you can't put a tag on it to make sure no kids are drinking it. But
if you had it, if you made it a law and, you know, it was there, at least people then have the guidelines. At the moment, there's no guidelines. That's the problem. The issue is there's no guidelines whatsoever.
But I think anybody with any common sense wouldn't give a pint of beer to a five-year-old anyway.
But you just mentioned common sense.
Yeah.
There were people that went on holiday and left their kids on holiday for a fortnight, aged, 9, 10? Is that common sense?
No, that's awful.
So I'd prefer a pint of beer treatment, wouldn't you?
Yes.
At least they're going to be around. They're going to be around if rather than I'm clearing off to Greece for a week, you've got to fend for yourself. That's worse than giving a child a pint of beer, isn't it?
You see, I don't think it at any harm at all letting your child have a sip of drink when they're growing up.
No, I don't. But aged five, a pint of beer, it's allowed.
No.
That's the thing. It's allowed.
Yeah, but I shouldn't think they do it, do you? I shouldn't think so.
Yeah, right. You don't think that kids are left at home when their parents go on holidays?
You think 5-year-old would drink a pint of beer?
No, let's define this. You don't think, because people are sensible, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about the same parents that are clearing off on holiday and leaving their kids at home.
Oh, they're not sensible.
You, for the same reason, they wouldn't do that because they're sensible, aren't they? So say they haven't got any guidelines.
No, I suppose not. But it's common sense here, isn't it?
It is common sense to you.
Yeah.
And it's common sense to me and possibly Shania. She's just could be still under the influence of alcohol from last night.
No, I'm not.
But the fact remains, last week shoplifting, this week drinking.
No, I didn't even shoplift.
You're a shocker, you are.
It's her dad who's leading her on. Because all these pictures
we're getting
him
into trouble.
You know, he's got his pint and there's Shania with her pint.
If we're getting into trouble the way things are going.
We will.
But I still think if we had the hard and fast rules, they might not be... You might not be able to enforce them, but at least if those people were thinking about and questioning what can I do, at least those rules will be there.
See, I always thought there was a law about leaving your children. And I thought it was about the age of 12.
Apparently
but
not.
Not. No.
That was. I mean, that must have shocked you this morning when you found out that there's no law in place.
No, I thought there was. I really thought there was something in writing that, you know, you can't leave your children. If you did, you would get.
And surely it is. It's common sense.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I've always thought it was age 12 because I remember when my dad was going out and he said, "Oh, look after Callum." I said, "I can't look after him until I'm 16 because I'm not old enough. I'm not doing it." And then he just shut the door in my face.
Ah, yeah. See what happened there?
Common sense.
Common sense is
went out the window.
But you've actually said that's the law, and he's probably thought about it.
Yeah,
he's probably thought. We all need some kind of ground rules.
But then
here.
It comes under like how sensible like the kid is. Because I've always been sensible, so I could quite easily look after my brother.
Yeah.
And not that I need to now because he's nearing 16 anyway. But Yeah, that's another point. You know, if you have to look after a kid until they're 16 or whatever, Callum could quite easily look after himself.
Yeah.
He does it and he goes off to work, he comes back and makes himself something to eat and all that. He could probably live on his own if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Do you think that the sad thing is that there's no laws that are supposedly in place and it's done for a reason? I wonder what the reason is. And I'm just thinking, I know that there's a lot of youngsters out there that become their parents' carer because they have to look after them.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, if they change the laws, it might be a bit of a struggle for those kids that are actually looking after their parents then. The law may incriminate them, but then put them in a position where they can't actually do what they're doing at the moment. That is looking after their parents.
They're very young, aren't they, some of these?
So, I mean, it's incredible, some of these stories that you hear.
Yeah.
And apparently, officially, they are the carer. They take on the role aged 14, 15,
that's right,
given their medication and so on and so forth. I mean, it's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah.
But do you think that's the reason why they've not decided to, make these laws a little bit more hard and fast?
It could be quite insulting to anybody, really. You know, if, like, you can have one 16-year-old that's really sensible and you can have another that's completely, you know, doesn't have a clue how to, you know, cook anything. Or I didn't know how to cook anything, but I could make a sandwich and all that if I needed to and all that.
Well,
like, it's really got completely different.
It's really strange because you had three girls that came in from ABK. It was at Church of was it the school you used to go to?
Christ the King.
Yeah, that's the one, Christ the King. They came in and they were, you were on the show at the time. What were you saying?
Yeah.
Could you cook to three of them?
Yeah.
And one of them was the cook. The others couldn't.
Yeah.
Would you be able to make yourself a sandwich? Yeah, probably. Would you be able to cook yourself anything? No, I definitely couldn't cook anything. Mm. Well, how are you going to be if suddenly the parents phone up and say, look, we're not coming home this weekend, you're going to have to fend for yourself, aged 15, what are you going to do? And they said they'd go around the girls' house that could cook, which is great.
Mm.
Brilliant, as they're thinking for themselves. They can't stay there, obviously, but it's really sad that that's the way we are. And I don't think it's always down to the parents. You know, it should be maybe the school and the parent work together with, hey, look, we need some survival skills here. We need to be able to cook. We need to be able to do these things, and we need to be able to do it age 13 upwards because they're allowed to stay at home.
But they don't do this anymore in schools, do they?
Sadly.
I know.
Sadly, they don't.
English and maths, that's all they're worried about.
And, you know, ticking boxes.
Yep.
And maybe we should be getting youngsters ready. Did you ever have, life skills at school where you actually had to learn to cook something?
We had food tech, which was, like, you had to design the product and then you cooked it. And then you had that about three times. And you had it it was four sessions of 6 weeks long.
Right.
So whoever got to start with food tech managed to get around to it again, but that was only for 6 weeks at a time.
Because, I don't know, forgive me, I don't know anything about food tech, but I mean, if it was me, it might be this way, I would prefer anything like that as to, like, health and safety, boiling the kettle, be aware of boiling water. I don't want, I wouldn't want people, right, okay, we're going to design a lovely menu. No, just the basics will do. Let's start with the basics. Mm. So you can actually turn the stove on, the cooker on, call it what you will, and not burn the house down. That, to me, is the absolute general basics. Right, we're going to learn how to make toast. We're going to learn how to boil a kettle and make a cup of tea or, a cup of soup or something. They're the basics. They're the survival, the things that, you know, fry an egg, that kind of thing. Egg on toast, perfect.
Yesterday morning, I had a phone call and one of my grandchildren, who's 20, just moved into a flat with his girlfriend, and he phoned us up. He says, Grandma, how do I make tuna fish pie? And I thought, how lovely. He said, it's my first dinner that I've ever cooked.
So he's making tuna fish pie.
So he made tuna fish pie.
Brilliant.
Yeah. You know, he knows how to cook, but he would never know how to do that, but he's made that now. That's great.
All right. Is that the one that was looking at the stuff that he shouldn't be looking on the computer?
Yes.
Oh, right.
But he's grown up a long way since then.
Not allowed to use the internet anymore. He's banned from the internet. But hey, look, he's a whiz in the kitchen.
And he's got his own flat.
Hey, look, we'll continue with this debate because I think it's a fascinating one. And I think you open it up, the more you open it up, we've chucked in holidays, we've chucked in, you know, people clearing off for a period of time and so on and so forth. Then, you know, you can come at it from a different angle as well, which we'll probably do in the next. Go on, you were going to say.
No, I mean, we could go, when you go to the holiday camps and that, you leave your children in their rooms where you go off for the evening.
Right, yeah.
That's another thing. You know who I'm thinking about.
That Shania?
No. No, I don't like...
Are you thinking about the two doctors?
Yes.
In Portugal?
Yes. You see, they shouldn't have been left.
No, they shouldn't have been left.
I know.
I mean, it's as simple as that. And if they hadn't have been left, it wouldn't have happened. And no, you know, they don't need us to tell them that. But maybe that's the rule that we should bring in, and the reason why this is brought in.
The parents should look. I mean, these two little twins have drowned in the swimming pool.
Mm. Yeah.
Where were Mum and Dad?
Well, it does beg the question, doesn't it?
I say, sadly, this is
going on right under our noses.
It
but
is.
The laws are not in place to protect, because the laws are not there.
Mm.
They're just guidelines.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it does need looking at. Hey, look, we'll come back in two ticks with more. It's 12 minutes to one.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240. This is Vectis Radio.
Tense. Nervous headache. Life just bringing you down. You know what you need? Tetravion, the debut album, All Out Tomorrows. Available over the counter, no prescription needed. HMV, Amazon, iTunes, all your favourite record stores. And if you want a t-shirt or a signed copy, go to churchofeon.com. Can't you feel it?
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, photos and much more, covering island bands to establish acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give their unique view on the music world, as well as music reviews from Fretbuzz. They now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and pictures on the site. Fretbuzz caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call them on 07576 138337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find them on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call Westwhite Audio for expert, friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
It's James and Judy here, the island's version of Richard and Judy. We've been married for longer than Judy cares to mention, haven't we?
That's true, James.
And together we run Ramshackle Pop-Up Cinema from our Global Nerve Centre in Bembridge. We're bringing lots of bickering, wittering...
That's me.
...and twittering...
That's James, the technical one.
...to Vectis Radio every Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 4. And that's our show, Ramshackle Mashup. It's a heady mix of music, previews and reviews of things going on the island, including arts, and breaking news about local eateries, cycling and special places.
And film.
Here at Vectis Radio, we're all about giving opportunities and breaking new ground. That's why we've teamed up with the island's leading theatre company, Origins, to bring to you the Student Radio Play Challenge. We're giving all island students the opportunity to write their very own original story for radio. If you win, you'll hear your radio play broadcast on Vectis Radio. Two runners-up will also have their work made into podcasts. Entries can be from individuals or teams of up to six from the same school or college. We're looking for entries in two categories, under 16s and 16 to 18. For further details, go to vectisradio.com and originstheatre.uk. So what are you waiting for? Get writing. We can't wait to read your entries.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
So we're talking about when is it okay to leave your child at home alone? And I was just looking at you, Dame Shirley, and I'm thinking no one should leave you home alone. You know, age 79, is it 79 you are? Look, there is no legal age limit, just to confirm, for leaving a child on their own, but it is an offence to leave a child alone if it places them at risk. See, they contradict themselves, yeah. And I say that's where the issue is. There's no hard, fast rules here. Parents can be prosecuted if they leave a child unsupervised in a manner likely to cause unnecessary suffering or injury to health. So it's almost like saying, well, it's all right until something happens, and then when something happens, we're going to prosecute. No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
The important factor to consider is how mature the child is. For example, it may be okay to leave a mature 12-year-old alone, but not a 13-year-old who is not mature. The National Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children advises that children under the age of 12 are rarely mature enough to be left alone for a long period of time. See, clarify what's a long period of time. Is it hours? Is it half a day, or is it a couple of weeks?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Children under the age of 16 should not be left alone overnight. Again, should not be left alone overnight. Again, they're throwing it open to so that you make the decision, and if you make the decision and it comes back to bite you on the backside, we're going to prosecute. Babies, toddlers and very young children should never be left alone. So, in your eyes, I mean, babies, pretty straightforward. Toddlers, how old are you when you're not a toddler?
Well, even a baby, you should never leave.
Oh, crikey, absolutely not.
You know, even if it's asleep in the cot, you should never leave a baby.
So they're not clarifying very young children either.
No.
Because a very young child to you might be Shania's age, 19. Because you're elderly.
Sod you up.
If you do leave your child at home alone, remember to do the following. Leave a contact phone number and make sure you can answer it right away. Leave a separate contact list of people you trust in case they can't get hold of you. Talk to your child before you leave about how to stay safe and tell them not to answer the door to strangers.
How can you do that? How can you not answer the door to strangers? If someone knocks the door, it could be your nan, it could be a random
lad. They probably couldn't reach the door, could they?
Don't answer the door.
You know.
Don't answer the door, because otherwise people know you're home alone.
I don't like answering
the door now. No, I don't either. And I'm 50.
Oh, you never do.
We just hide on the landing and peep our head through. See who it is.
I do a look out my window first.
Who's that knocking the door? Never invited anybody around. That's the way I look at it. I never invited anybody around, so I'm not answering the door. That's how it should be. Make sure dangerous objects like matches and knives are out of reach, as well as medicines and dangerous chemicals. Leave clear instructions on what to do in case of an emergency, like a fire. Tell them when you will be back. Okay, tell them when you will be back. Da-de-da-de-da. Make sure leave clear instructions on what to do in case of emergency. Tell them when you will be back and don't be late. Set some basic rules about what they can do and what they can't do whilst you're out, and teach them the basic first aid. That's what you should do.
But there's still no age.
Finally, it is important to make sure that your child is happy to be left alone. If they aren't confident about being alone, then you should find someone to look after them.
Yeah, common sense. Yeah. All of it.
How many mums and dads are going to say, look, I've got to go out to work now, you've got to stay in? I don't really want to, Dad. Tough. Here you go, there's some sweets. There's a load of DVDs. Can you do it?
Sorry.
I agree with that. That makes us look awful, doesn't it?
It does.
But I do. I think we blame Margaret Thatcher for that. Because she basically gave... I mean, you know, it's a two-pronged thing here. You can have a better life, but you're going to have to send your wife out to go and work for it. And, by the way, mum's now got to go out to work to pay for that mortgage and that lovely house and that lovely... Yeah. See, I think we paid a price. All those years ago, we paid a price. And I think it's really, really quite sad. It's awful that I've just had a go at Margaret Thatcher when I myself, before Margaret Thatcher even came to power, I was one of those kids that was left home alone.
Mm.
And so, it was different then. My mum was a single parent; she had to go out to work.
I bet you enjoyed yourself, didn't you?
I had more fun than I've ever had.
Yes,
and we got into trouble. Yeah? I have to say, you know, we broke windows. We went scrumping. We got up to all sorts.
I bet you
there was a
yes.
building site being built around us as Pam was being built around us as we grew up.
Those Pam kids.
It was wonderful. We did so much damage here, and we did so much damage there.
What a good time you had.
All in the space of an hour and a half when we were left home alone. It was a great time, but seriously, you know, I'm surprised I made it to adulthood, because you know there was danger all around us. And seriously, we ought to look at this and think, you know, we ought to have some hard fast rules so we know exactly where we stand, don't you think? Because at the end of the day, the kids come first in all of this.
They should do,
but they're obviously not.
Yeah.
And somebody is ducking the issue here. Somebody doesn't want to take control of this. And I'm really shocked at you know, certain bodies of people that, you know, don't want to take this on and don't want to, you know, apply some kind of hard fast rules here. And you mentioned earlier on, Shania, that, oh, we can't police it, can you? Well, I think you should be able to police it, and we damn well should, because, you know, there's children's, you know, their lives are at stake in some cases.
Yeah.
500 people were arrested last year because of too many.
If I knew there was a neighbour and they were going out leaving their children in the evening, little young children, I would report it, you know?
She would report
it. I would as well, yeah, because they're children's.
You are the Doc Cotton of our street, and long may you reign.
No,
hey, look, we've got to go now, Shania. So is your dad picking you up? Because obviously we've got to look after you until he arrives.
No,
okay.
You don't.
Mick's carers, Mick the carer has just arrived to take Shirley away. Okay, so...
I know he's coming to take you away.
Oh, the men in white coats will be along very, very soon. Hey, look, thanks, Dame Shirley. Thank you, Shania.